Okay, Leviticus chapter 14. Let's start reading in verse 34. We're going to read down through verse 57. All right, Leviticus 14, verse 34. When you become into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. Like a dump. How many of you, ain't too many of you here remember. You guys remember the dump out here when we had a dump? You remember it, Mike? Yeah. Yeah. Not too many people remember it anymore. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house. He shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place, to the dump. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with a scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open field, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague, of leprosy, and skull, and for the leprosy of a garment, and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean, and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. All right, now that might sound confusing. We didn't read the part about the garment, but it's similar to this. And so we ain't going to take too long tonight here, I don't think, but we'll just, there's some important stuff here. Leprosy, being a picture and a type of sin, also manifests itself in a house that people live in. How about that? Did you ever think of that? We think of sin as just something that manifests itself in people. But people live in houses. Yes. And sin is manifested in homes, not just in individual people. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about. The scripture here speaks of the fact that God would put the plague of leprosy in a house. Now that's the way it said it. God speaking, he said, if I put the plague of leprosy in the house. Well, this doesn't mean that God would put sin in the house, obviously. You can't believe that kind of nonsense. God's going to put sin in the house. I mean, we don't want to be some kind of kook about this. Read the words. It means that he would put the plague in the house because of the sin. The plague of leprosy is not the leprosy itself, but the result of its presence. And when you just listen to me as we go through this, and you'll see that very clearly. Leprosy is one thing. There's a plague because of it. Sin is one thing, but the results, the consequences, all of the collateral damage, all of the fallout from it is another thing. Yes, it is. And God don't let sin go without any consequences. If I put a plague of leprosy in the house. God didn't put the leprosy in there. God put the plague in there so you'd know leprosy's there. The plague is the evidence of the leprosy, of something else that's there that needs fixing. The description given here of red or green streaks speaks of some kind of mold. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And which we're all familiar with that, aren't we? All you got to do is go home and open the refrigerator. There it is, right? Well, maybe not today, but how about yesterday? Before you cleaned it out. No, it's speaking of some kind of mold. Dry rot. Most people, that's what they think that he was speaking of there. One of the kinds of mold. Red and green, it's two different things. But anyway, the presence of mold is evidence of something else wrong, isn't it? It's not the mold. I mean, you better look deeper than the mold. Everybody wants to just kill the mold. Well, you got to remove whatever's causing it to grow there. You got to change the circumstances and the atmosphere and the things that are there that are allowing it to thrive if you want rid of the mold. Now, you can spray it with bleach and say, I killed it, and it's gone. It'll be right back if you didn't remove or change what was causing it to grow. I keep these dehumidifiers running all the time. Most people don't understand, but you ought to understand. If they're off for 2 days, you walk in the door, you can smell it in here. They make a big difference. They'd make a lot of difference if they ran all the time. And what do they do? Well, they remove what facilitates the growth of the mold and mildew. The presence of mold is evidence of something else wrong. Mold appears in the presence of dead and decaying substances. And it's therefore evidence that they're dead and decaying. Again, what's in your refrigerator? You go through looking at your leftovers. Can we eat this? Can we eat this? If it's got mold on it, are you going to eat it? Why? The mold tells you that it's bad, doesn't it? All right. The mold tells you this stuff's rotten already. Mold doesn't grow on fresh stuff. Stuff that's good to eat, it don't grow there. If it's got mold on it, generally speaking, you don't want to eat it. Amen. I know Dakota blue cheese, but I don't like blue cheese. Maybe you do, but mold appears in the presence of dead and decaying stuff. Think about that. Are you listening? The Israelites occupied the dwellings of the Canaanites. Now that's the situation here. They've just moved in and taken the land. They've taken the houses, so they're moving into these houses that the Canaanites lived in before. And we're told real clearly in the Bible here what kind of people those Canaanites were and how they lived. They were filthy, both physically and morally, they were very unclean people. And if you're physically, if you're morally unclean, you're going to be physically unclean. And if you're physically unclean, it's going to be a mess where you're at. And they're moving into these houses. And God said, if you're in one of these houses, and you say, boy, it seems to me like there's a plague in this house. Every time I come in here, I can smell something. Don't smell good. I mean, the kids are getting sick all the time. And I've always got headaches and, you know, my eyes itch and my nose runs and seems like there's something wrong in this house. Call the priest. And he'll say, empty the house. Haul all the furniture outside. Man, I'd hate to have to empty our house. But the priest wasn't coming and looking in the house till you took everything out of it. Too much clutter. Too many things for the plague to hide under. Get that junk out of there. But what had went on in these houses while the Canaanites lived there had left them defiled and unclean and a breeding ground for all kinds of things, plagues and diseases. We can understand this more now because, you know, when you go to a motel, do you carry something with you to spray and clean around before you? Yeah, you do, if you got any gumption about you at all. If you could realize and see what's on everything and how and what that maid did when she come in and cleaned the place and what the people that was in there just before you were in there did or last week, you know, you'd be a real conscious of this. So we can understand that more. We do that. When we go to a motel room or if we move into a different house, what do you do before you move your stuff in? I mean, unless you're just a real low life. I'm sorry, but I mean, do you just move in a house without cleaning it first? Yes, you do. And we're also very conscious of the uncleanness around us. You go to a restaurant and eat, my goodness. Oh. It just, you know, I go out with these little kids and stuff and I just go, oh my goodness, I can't hardly do it. It's just, no. If I have a French fry and it touches the table, I don't eat it. If it touches the tray they brought it on, I don't eat it. If I see the waiter or the car hop or whoever, if I see them touch it, I ain't eating it. Say, you're just too picky. No, I believe I just know better. I'm just conscious of that. And I think you ought to be too. Because you're living in a defiled world. I mean, it's getting bad. Hepatitis A everywhere rampant and all kinds of other diseases. That's the way the land of Canaan was. When you've got sodomites and immorality and everybody just laying with everybody, that's what you got. Yes, sir. Filthy. It's unclean. You got plagues, diseases everywhere. And so you don't want to, I mean, you got to be a little on the other side of being clean if you want to stay healthy. But anyway, the application to be made here is mostly moral. You know, we can apply it to physical things and all of that. That's good, but I just believe it's that way. I believe it's this way with this, just like it is with on the spiritual side. If the inside's clean, the outside's going to be clean. And I think if you're morally clean, you're going to be physically clean too. I think if you're physically unclean, I think your physical level of cleanliness reflects your moral level of cleanliness. I think it does. The plague of leprosy in a house is represented here by mold of different colors and that springs from different causes. And it is the evidence of something that's dead or dying or decaying or giving rise to the mold and giving it something to feed on. Mold has to have something to sustain it, to grow on. And it grows on dead and decaying stuff. Keep that out of your house. If you don't want the mold, keep it out of your house. How do you do that? You be clean. Simple. You clean the place. Clean it out. Don't leave stuff laying around where mold's going to grow on it. That old dead mouse I found there, it had mold all over it. Mold grows on dead animals. Mold grows on food that's just left. Mold will grow on your carpet where it's never cleaned. And where, you know, kids throw food under the couch and all of that. And nobody ever reaches under there and sweeps out of it. You know, I mean, it was a joke when I was growing up, sweeping under the rug. You know. Now everybody does that. That's the way you take care of stuff. Just raise the rug up. It's gone. We're clean. No, you ain't. It's evidence of something that is unclean and being neglected or forgotten. Now, when does something mold? When you ain't looked at it in a while. When you just forgot about it. You didn't think about it. Ain't that what happened? I look at these old pictures and stuff, and back in the 50s and 60s like that, they had these little bitty tiny refrigerators. I remember when we had one. Yeah. Didn't defrost, didn't have an ice maker. And it was kind of round on the top, and the handle was broke and had a bolt through it, and I gave $35 for it. Used it for a long time, sold it for $35 to Laverne. But that was a good refrigerator. But I'll tell you what, you couldn't poke a bunch of stuff in it. It was little. So there wasn't as much of a problem. Now we got these big old honking refrigerators that you can't even reach the back with your arm, and so you just keep shoving it in there. You just push everything around and make a hole big enough to put the pickle jar. And you don't do nothing about it until you just can't poke nothing else in there. And then when you go to digging it out, you find way back in the back, oh, remember when we had that for dinner 2 months ago? Doggone, I was going to eat that, but it's right now. Neglect. Things happen in your home when you don't pay attention. Mold grows. And then it lets you know that something's wrong. The refrigerator gets to smelling bad. We got to clean this thing out. Be good if we'd do that with our home. If we could just recognize and pay attention to the problems and the stink that's happening and causing all the problems, and if we just clean house once in a while, throw out all this junk that's causing all these problems. It's the evidence of something unclean, being neglected or forgotten. This speaks of the problems that plague our homes, and it's not really hard to spot the plagues in our homes. You know, really, there's very few homes nowadays that are free from plagues. Even the homes that are in the churches, they're no better than the rest of them out there for the most part. It's an exception to find a good home. You know, most homes are not peaceful, happy places, but they're places full of unpleasant odors and unclean things. And I'm not just talking about what's in the refrigerator or under the couch. There are homes where it's just not a pleasant place to be. So everybody would rather be somewhere else. Kids don't want to come home. Dad don't want to come home. Mom always wants to find some place to go so she don't have to be there. There's a plague in that home. That's a plague. Most homes have bitterness and strife in them. Most of them do. It's a shame. It's not supposed to be that way. A home is not supposed to be that way. Home is supposed to be a pleasant place. It's supposed to be a peaceful, restful place. It's supposed to be the place where everybody wants to get to at the end of the day. Home, sweet home. What does that mean to anybody anymore? Is it really home, sweet home, or is it home where the battles are fought, and home where all the yelling goes on, and home where everybody's mad all the time? There's a plague in a home like that. I think that's the application here. Leprosy in a house brings the plague upon the house. It ain't a happy place. Ain't a peaceful place. Ain't a good place. Ain't a pleasant place. Most homes are dwelling places of disobedient children and angry and discouraged parents. Most homes are either so lonely that they echo, or in such chaos that everyone in there is a nervous wreck and on medication or looking for it. All these plagues are the mold, which is evidence of something dead and decaying laying around or hidden somewhere in that home. There's almost no home now that doesn't have internet and Wi-Fi. Is there? Ain't hardly anybody. I don't know if I know anybody that ain't got it. I don't know if I know anybody. Unless it'd be some older person, and I don't even know, I can't even think of one of them. Most homes have some kind of TV piped in through satellite or cable or antenna or Netflix or phone service. There's many different ways now to have it in your house piped in. We had an antenna and we could get one channel most of the time. Sometimes we could get two channels, barely. And that was too much. It is. Most homes have pornography hiding there. It's just too easily available through too many avenues. And we provide all the avenues. And we just leave it that way. We don't pay attention to it. And there it is. It grows. Something's feeding on it. Most homes have people who are hiding secret things. Dad, mother, children. The only reason they're hiding things, is because they're wrong in some way. You know, they're either immoral, or they're unclean, or they're hurtful. You don't hide things for any other reason. Unless it's a Christmas present or something. That's true. But people are doing it. That's a plague in the house. You think it ain't a plague in your home if mama's a-hiding something from daddy? If daddy's a-hiding something from mama? If they both got their secrets and something going on, whatever it is, money, you know, affairs, whatever. Secret things. Boy, that's a place for the mold to grow. You better believe it. It grows on stuff like that. This plague of leprosy in a house, that's what it feeds on. Dead stuff like that. Decaying, rotten stuff. All these things that we allow to occupy places in our homes are the things that cause the plagues in our homes. And will we ever realize that? You know, TV. We've not had any way to receive TV over an antenna or cable, or I've never had a satellite. It's been 40 years since we had cable. And, you know, we've not piped it in, no way. I don't have Netflix. I don't do it over the phone. We ain't got no TV. I mean, we've got a television set, and we can watch what we want to watch on it, but it has to be played on a disc. That's the only thing that will play on there. I see it once in a while out in public somewhere, TV going, restaurant. You know, they got TVs going in the restaurants and stuff. I watch it a little bit and I think, what in the world's the matter with everybody? I don't know how in the world you can I don't know how you can stand it in the first place and then to pay for it besides. We had somebody at the mill the other day, and they was talking about their TV cameras. The boy's getting ready to dump it because one guy threw his cell phone away because they charged him 25% tax on his telephone bill. He figured it all up and he said, I ain't paying that. So he threw his cell phone away. Another one was going to have the TV cut off, but he thought about it, but boy, is this getting so high. I remember when we first got married, of course, we had to have it. And I don't remember, it's $11, $12 a month for cable in Piedmont. Now, I don't even know, but I'm suspecting that it's $75 to $100 or something like that, like everything else is. Are you kidding me? Well, a fool and his money is soon parted is all I've got to say. It'd be, you know, cold day where you know who lives before I'd pay that much money for anything like that. To pay for the poison to put in my home that would cause all the trouble. I mean, what does it do besides cause trouble? Everybody fights over what to watch. Everybody fights over being quiet while they're trying to listen or watch whatever they want to watch. I mean, it's just a means of more strife, for one thing, besides all the trash that it puts in the minds. And TV is not near the thing as it used to be. It used to be the thing. We didn't have internet. We didn't have computers. We didn't have phones. So everybody watched TV. And they decided for you what you're going to think about. That was the medium that brainwashed all the people of the world and taught them all this nonsense and philosophy and everything. And I can tell you, you don't need it. And I can tell you that you're so much better off without it. I mean, I can tell you that. I've never known anybody that got rid of the TV watching that didn't say, my goodness, why didn't we do this years ago? Home is such a much better place. We talk. We play games. We got things to do. And you don't miss nothing, really. If you got to go way back to the 70s and 60s for me to know who was on TV shows. I mean, I knew them all back then. But from there on, when I got saved and quit it all, I don't even know. They talk about these TV shows in the 80s, and I didn't know none of them. And I still don't. I mean, I've heard them, and they talk about these shows, and I don't know what it was about, who was on it, or what. They're not familiar to me. Do you think I've lost something? No, I haven't. But, you know, in the day we're living in, you might as well talk to the stump. People would rather have their fighting and fussing and bickering and hating and strife and trouble in their home than get rid of what's causing it. They love it so much. Got to have it. And then they'll turn around and talk about drug addicts, how stupid they are for being addicted to drugs. Everybody's addicted to their devices and their TVs and everything else just as much. And it's causing probably just as much, if not more, destruction and plagues in their life, in their children's life, in their home, as all that stuff does. Amen. How has the plague stopped? Well, the priest told him to empty the house before he came to look at it. He came to the house and looked to see the evidence of the plague. If he saw it, he shut the house up 7 days. That's what we just read there. He went in, looked, if he seen it, red or green, you know, in the wall, he went out and shut the door and said, stay out of this house for 7 days. So then he come back in 7 days. And after 7 days, he went in and looked again. And if the plague had spread in the wall, they tore it out. Wherever the mold was, they tore all that area out, just like you do with cancer. You cut it out. He cut it all out, scraped all of the inside of the house, and put back new rock and new mortar and new plaster. Just redid the whole inside of the house and got rid of that mold out of there. And so, if the plague came back after that, and it's not specified any time. He didn't come back in 7 days and look. He didn't come back in 2 weeks and look. I mean, that was supposed to fix it. But if it didn't, if it come back again, what'd it do? That's the end of the house. Tear it down. All the timber, all the rocks, all the mortar, everything, tear it down and haul it to the dump. And if you're going to build anything, you build a new house there with new materials. Start all over again. So, if there's something in the home which is the source of problems in the home, it needs to be removed and replaced with something that is not food for the plague. Y'all listening? Is there anything in your home causing trouble? Or would you admit it? If there was something in there that was causing trouble, would you admit it? I don't know. I think most people won't nowadays. What do you think happened to these Israelites who just lived in the house of the plague? Said, we don't care. We ain't getting rid of our house. What do you think happened to them? You think they prospered and raised a healthy family and everything was well with them? There's so much to this, man. Oh, man. You know. We've all known families all through the years. Some, and you know, there's differences in physical and all that. I mean, some people are just sickly, but there's a difference, you know. I've seen people, my goodness, sick all the time. Somebody's sick all the time. And other people, never sick. Never sick. There's got to be reasons for that, don't you think? Or is that just the way it is? No, that's just not the way it is. If the plague came back, they had to destroy the house. So if there's something in the house that's causing the problems, find the source of the problems. You got a plague? You got something that's causing the place to be unpleasant? Your home unpleasant? Look for what's causing it. And be honest and sincere. And look everywhere. I mean, you come in the house and there's a dead mouse in here. And you know what I've noticed about that? Most people won't look to find it. They said he's in here somewhere, but I can't find him. Well, if you want rid of the stink, you're going to have to find him. And you're going to have to look under in every crevice and under everything, and you're going to have to find him. Remember when the squirrel died back here? Well, we found him. Inside the wall, but we found him. With our sniffer. Yeah. I went looking for the smell. Mike climbed up in the attic and went crawling across there and looked down in the hole and seen him with a flashlight. And then I got one of them little cameras you can poke through the wall, and I poked a hole in the wall where I thought he was, and sure enough, there he was. I showed you a picture of him. And we thought, well, we just leave him there long enough, he'll dry out and quit stinking. Didn't happen, did it? No, I had to go back there and cut a hole in the wall and drag that nasty thing out and get it out of here. And it was still a while before we got rid of all the stink. So if you got something in your house that's causing a stink, you're going to have to look for it. And you're going to have to be honest about it. And you're going to have to be thorough about it. And you're going to have to, when you find it, you're going to have to do something about it. You can't just say, well, we found out what's causing the problem. The stink ain't going away until you get rid of what's causing the stink. Yep, amen. So, our home needs to be a clean place, both physically and morally. And if you don't want your house to stink, you have to remove the dead mouse. If you leave him there, he's going to stink from now on. And you're always going to know He's there. And whatever pertains to death and sin and the wicked world around us needs to be swept out of our house. Do you get me? I'm gonna hone in here a little bit, but I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Our home needs to be free of the idols and superstitions of the world. It's got to the point now where nobody cares. You know, wouldn't surprise me to see people call themselves Christian have a Ouija board in the house now. Used to be, no. But it don't, you know, now people don't have any problem with stuff like that. If you don't want your home to have a plague in it, then you need to get rid of the things that give the devil a foothold inside your house. All right, are you listening to me? Serious Christians from the past that I've known all my life, I mean, I've always known this, they've not allowed things like Ouija boards and playing cards and any other things associated with the occult. Anything associated with the cult like those things are, weren't allowed in a Christian's home, if they were serious. Backslid, halfway, Christians, yeah, they would do it, but not sincere, devoted, dedicated Christians. Always. They wouldn't allow stuff in their house that was associated with the devil, with the occult. So I don't matter, don't make no difference. Yo, yes, it does. It most certainly does. Stuff grows from that. Oh yeah, it really does. We were talking yesterday about somebody in a nursing home. And I knew this person years ago. Now they've lost their mind. They're out of control. And they're dark. Always going to kill somebody. If I had a knife, I'd kill you. If I could get something, I'd kill you right now. I'd cut your throat. I'd kill you. I'd stab you. I'd cut your head off. And I remember seeing this person years ago when they were just a normal person, apparently. But I know that there was a thing on the desk where they always sat. And it said something to this effect that I'd be better off dead, or I wish I was dead, or something like that. That was their motto. You let things like that. Just have them around. Just have them around your house. Your kids are drinking that in. People do that. They don't forget things like that. And it makes an impression on some that it doesn't on others. You can put two things of food in the refrigerator and one may mold and the other may not. And that's the way it is with children, with people. Some of those things affect them way more than it does others. Those things never did, you know, I never did put no stock in them. I never paid no attention to them. It just didn't mean nothing to me and I didn't care. So they didn't affect me like some... like they have some other people. Anything associated with the cult and like books and magazines that speak of or picture nudity and immorality or sensual things. You know, people that were serious Christians didn't allow stuff like that in their house. You got rid of it. I mean, you didn't have it. And if it showed up somewhere in the fire, it went. I know people that's been really messed up because of pornography somebody had in their house when they was a kid. Or the neighbor had in their house when they was a kid. You know, when I was a teenager, we had a neighbor and he was a deacon in the Baptist church. And his son would come over and get me, and we could go over and look at Playboy and stuff with his dad. His dad had all them magazines hid, and when his mom was gone, he'd get them out, and we could go look at them. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't think that's going to cause problems, if you think that's just cute and that's just what boys do, boys will be boys. You think it's normal for a deacon in a Baptist church to be that way, well then I don't know that I can help you at all. I don't know if I got anything else to say to you. But people who laugh and mock at such convictions are ignorant of the plagues that break out from living in the presence of these things. And if we don't want the plague of leprosy in our house, we have to keep our house clean. Negligence, laziness, carelessness, apathy, and self-indulgence will give rise to plagues that are hard to get rid of, and which sometimes lead to the total dismantling and destruction of your home. Better believe that. What's wrong with just being clean? What's wrong with just having clean things in your home? Holy things in your home. You're going to have books for the kids to read? Have clean books. Wholesome books. Yeah. Watch your mailbox. They send pornography in your mailbox. They send terrible things. These health magazines and stuff. I don't even know what they are. We've got some of them in the mail that was terrible, terrible. And we would burn them and put them in the trash before anybody could see them. Didn't want them laying around. But they'll come in and the kids go out and get the mail and they read them first. They see them first. I mean, really, you can just mock if you want to, but even like JCPenney and all these magazines, it's all women's clothes. I mean, that's what it's about, and or the lack thereof. And all of them's got the part with the lack thereof. They sell more underwear for women than they do clothes, evidently, by their magazines. No, that's just meant for, that's meant for young eyes. That's what it's meant for. And if you ain't on guard, that's exactly where it goes. And then you got stuff growing in your house that you don't even know about. It's hidden away, you ain't seeing it, and you ain't going to see it until it just springs forth on you. And it's too late. Just have to tear the whole house down. I mean, the whole home be destroyed and dismantled. That's what's happening all around us. That's why the world's, that's the way of the world now. Homes, just blow it up. Just blow it up. Divorce. Split it up. Start over somewhere else. All it takes is just some attention. Cleanliness. Morally, physically. Pay attention. Get rid of the things that junk grows on. Don't let it lay around. If you ain't gonna, I mean, you know, you ought to get in the habit of just throwing it out. If you're just going to put it in a little container and push it back in there and have all these 25 butter bowls in the back of your refrigerator and you have no idea what's in any of them, what is the good in that? Why just leave it there till it molds and stinks and then have to get it out of your house? Y'all understand, I'm not just talking about refrigerator stuff. I'm talking about the plagues in our home. Plague of leprosy. Boy, it's bad in a person, but it's bad in the home too. It affects more people that way. And they all grow up, and then they spread it to other homes. You know, just keep a clean house. Just make sure there ain't no junk in there. It's going to grow bad junk in your house. Say amen. All right. Well, stand with me. I really believe that's the lesson behind this. Why in the world we talk about leprosy in a person, then leprosy in a garment, and leprosy in the house? Leprosy in the garment. Same thing, see? Had to tear the part out of the garment that had the leprosy on it, but then if it showed up again, you got to get rid of the whole thing. How could garments have leprosy in them? Same way. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray you to help us to understand this and remember it. And Lord, I pray not only that, but I pray we'd be obedient to what we've understood here tonight. I pray we'd keep our house clean and remove the things that tempt us and that poison our minds and our minds of our children and others who might just happen through. Lord, help us, I pray. Help us not to keep things hidden or put away. Help us to look under every piece of furniture and every crevice in our home, and help us, Lord, to get rid of these things that might grow something that would ruin our home and maybe even destroy it. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the richness of it and the truths that are there. And Lord, help us not to just hear it, let it slide through and be lost. Mighty important stuff we're looking at here, and I pray you'd help us to be obedient to what you've shown us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.